Hello, my name is Brandy Hofer, your host and founder of Color Me Happy, a community podcast and book, all of which I started in my in-home studio whilst in the throes of motherhood. I am an artist, author, educator, and mother to three beautiful boys. We live and create together in our in-home studio that is tucked away in the quiet Canadian prairies. Our podcast and community was built to empower and inspire. We chat about everything from motherhood, the art world, business, and health in the most honest and authentic way. It's totally unedited and unfiltered. If you love what we do here, become a part of our free community, Color Me Happy. We have grown the community to support our members with features and interviews. Our link is in the notes. Thank you for being here. I sure do appreciate your time. Welcome to Color Me Happy podcast. My name is Brandy Hofer, your host. Thank you so much for being here and for your very precious amount of time. We talk about that all the time, especially in our book. Time is our most precious commodity. We also have a lot of really fun tips in our book if you haven't gotten it yet. It's like the reviews are so wonderful. It fills my heart. And really, it's a book that I wrote to get through. I wrote it during the pandemic, which many people, I think, went back in to themselves and tried to discover what it is they wanted out of life. And it was a culmination of like how I got through grief and how my creativity saved me and how spending time with my family and my children made me grow into a motivated woman who drives for success and wants to lift others up with her. But it's very raw. So there's some F-bombs. And I remember my cousin was editing or like giving it the first read through. And she's like, I'm crying. It's page 11. Come on. So it's a very touching book. And I feel like a lot of people can relate to the raw struggles. And it's not only that, but like it's very motivational and it helps you get out of bed in the morning and it helps you view the world in a very different creative way in order to see your everyday ordinary as extraordinary. So check that out. The link is in the bio. I'm very excited about our guest today, Jenna Cast, because she utilized social media and her marketing skills in order to become a full-time artist and make it work for her creative life and creative living. I love seeing her journey through social media. So you got to look at social media as a tool, not as a stress point, but like your ability to grow. And when you invest your time in it and invest like a nice, good, stick to an attitude and just like, this is something I do and it's a regular thing to post. I think you can really grow in that way and then keep stepping up your game. Jenna mentions at the end that she's on Pinterest and we're just recently exploring Pinterest. I've wanted to for a while, but I only have like so much bandwidth, obviously. And I worked on last summer growing my team, so adding a couple members to my team. And so Alex came along and she started posting on YouTube for me. So just recycling content. So you don't always have to make new content. You can recycle content you have. My brain jumped to something else I had to do today. Sorry. You recycle content you had. So she's been using my Instagram reels on YouTube. And then my podcast also goes on YouTube as well. And it's just starting to grow. So we started that in the summer. So you just got to keep at it on a regular basis and like post. She posts shorts daily on YouTube. I post reels and photos almost daily on Instagram. And then Alex started exploring Pinterest for me, which was really cool. And we're already seeing, it's the first week of data. We're seeing like traffic on the site. So that's good. Like it's not a ton, but it's like for just starting out on something. So Jenna Kutcher's right. Pinterest is the way to go. I actually bought Alex a Pinterest slab from Jenna Kutcher, who, by the way, on April 29th, I am on her podcast. Woo woo! So excited. I don't even know how that happened. That was like a crazy moment. Anyway, I probably talked way too much. and who knows about what. Anyway, yeah, this is a very cool episode of how you can, if you're wanting to, I mean, if you want to do anything, you can do it. Shift into like growing your creative career. That doesn't mean quit your job tomorrow. Please don't. But figuring it out a way and a schedule and a habitual routine to make it work for you. And like maybe in 6 months, you're like, I want to grow on socials and my business and get a website going or whatever it is. I think like socials are a better place to start than even a website, because it's your online portfolio. I've gotten so many jobs from Instagram. Oh my gosh. Okay, so I'm actually putting together a little marketing course because our freebie was so freaking popular. I'm like, I need to have a tiny marketing course, very affordable. I'm thinking of keeping it like under $20, like a mini course, a mini lowdown, because I've actually learned so much recently about changes, and we've seen success and growth in some really cool ways. So I have some like really big secrets for you in that. So keep posted for that and enjoy this episode. Thank you so much for being here. Feel free to join our Color Me Happy community. It is free, and we have weekly inspiration there and member features on the podcast. So if you are interested in being on the podcast, join the community and get sharing. We'll see you there. So welcome, Jenna. Thank you for coming on. It's so nice to meet you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so why I reached out originally was because I love the fact that you had taken this like big deep dive, and it was like going way beyond what you expected. Am I correct in saying that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so what were you doing before that? Like, were you painting the whole time? Did you have an education? What was your plan? What was your mindset around that?
Mm-hmm. So I always struggle to like tell the short version of the story.
Tell the long version. We have time.
I feel like the path is like so like winding and crazy, but okay, I'll try to keep it like semi-succinct. So when I was a kid, I loved art. I was super creative. I loved drawing, spent a lot of time doing it, but it was like never really a thing that like I thought of doing as a job. Or like, I grew up in a really small town. Like, I just could not conceive of it ever being a job. So didn't really think about it. I went to school for advertising and public relations. So that's like what my degree is in. And that was like the professional field that I was in. So I'm going to college, I'm in the working world, and I'm dealing with all of this anxiety as like, I feel like most of us now are like encountering as we like enter adulthood. And I was thinking to myself, like, I need a hobby, or I need something to do that is a good outlet for, you know, emotions and for my anxiety. And so I thought back to things that like made me happy.
Sorry.
Okay. Keep going. Little one. So I thought back to things that made me happy. And I thought about art. So I went to the art store, bought some art supplies. Anyway, discovered that making art was like a way to deal with that anxiety. And started painting, creating, hand lettering, watercolor painting, just like anything to sort of have a creative outlet. And then in early 2019, I started abstract, because that's the type of art that I really love. And I felt like, you know, there are no forms or figures. So it should be like really fun and really cathartic and expressive. So I tried my hand at that. I am like sharing this on social media too, just kind of like sharing my journey, sharing what I'm doing. And people just really responded to it, like really responded to my work. So I had already been working in like marketing and graphic design. So like I knew I had kind of like a natural eye for things, but people started asking like from the beginning if they could buy the work I was making, which was never my intention when I set out doing it. But then I was like, this could happen. Like, I could make this happen in terms of like having an art career where I sell art, and like that could be like a legitimate business. So I'm like, okay, if that's the case, I need to invest some time into this. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna take 2019, I'm gonna paint as much as possible, I'm gonna start like trying to sell my work. And I did, and everything just kind of like started to build up. And early 2020, like before COVID times, in February of that year, my work like really started to take off and started to really be collected. When COVID hit, I was like, okay, well, this is over because I can't do any art markets or, any events to get my work out there. But that wasn't the case at all. I found like a huge collector base online, and online art sales skyrocketed. So I did my first sort of formal collection release in May of 2020 and like nearly sold out. And since then, it's just been like this steady growth supported by just awesome collectors from like everywhere around the country. It's been so cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
In
it's been
like
a
such
really,
a short period of time,
it's been
right?
really, I mean, comparatively, I guess it's been really fast. So
Yeah, I've been in the biz for 16 plus years, and I'm just gonna stay with 16 plus from now on. Because yeah, like from when I sold my first, not we're not talking like childhood when I sold my first art for a dollar or anything. When I counted as when I started, like I sold my first painting for whatever, $250. And so, which I was surprised. I collected someone's art today and she's really great and I love her. And now to think that I'm like, why was her piece $250? If that's where we're beginning, but it was on sale, so that, but I loved it. It was like girl, buy your own flowers, and then had like it was art by Frances. I love her. Anyway, I try to also as an artist support other artists. It's so important, but yeah, like fairly, and I'm not gonna say easy because I know this probably has not been easy for you, and it's lots of work. Packing and shipping and creating and growing and not expecting that, right? And adjusting.
I think it has been, I don't like to compare, because I know that I'm
Oh, you
like
can't compare. No.
island of a person, because I don't have any formal training or education in art. But I think my background in marketing has been hugely helpful, in helping me to grow my career and find collectors. And let's see, December of 2021, I left my job to do art full time. So a little over a year I've been doing just art. And I mean, that's thanks in very large part to the fact that we have social media nowadays and we can reach basically anyone anywhere. So it's been really, I almost like, as a marketing nerd, I almost treat myself like a marketing experiment. Because I'm in a fairly small town. I mean, Green Bay isn't that big. It's like, the metro area is probably like 200,000 or something like that.
I always like a lot of the art women I asked to come on the podcast are from the States, and I love how you called it small.
It is pretty, I mean, it's one of the small, I mean, let's say,
Oh, I live in a place with 30,000 people.
yeah. Well, so I grew
So
up,
that's so big. To me, that's like very big, right?
I grew up in a town with like 1400 people, like very small
Oh,
town.
wow.
And so like when I moved to Green Bay, it was like the big city, but like
Yeah.
relatively it's not that big in terms of the
Cities.
metro area that you would need, that you feel like you might need to have a successful art career, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. When you think about numbers and surrounding areas, I personally don't live in one of those places when vast expanding prairie and population is like very, and then artist population so small. Mm-hmm. But like we are mighty, because I feel like wherever you are, you find your community. Have you found a lot of community since you've taken that leap?
Oh, for sure. It's really interesting. Like the different communities you get to know once you sort of step out into public as an artist, as a business owner. And Green Bay has a really solid and growing arts presence. Like we have a surprising number of artists here. And the city has been embracing public arts more so over the past like several years. And so it's been really fun to see that grow and to have that community here. And we also have a great community of just like creatives in general, creative business owners, entrepreneurs. So it's really nice to have that network of people to like build up those connections, even if they're not, you know, in the arts necessarily. It's great to have those people to connect with. And Green Bay still feels like kind of a small town. So it's easier to like, you know, to upkeep that web of connections.
Yeah. Yeah. I think wherever you go, you can find like, even if you're sitting online, right? Mm-hmm. If like, sure. I have found so many, well, that's how we met, right? Yeah. Yeah. It's, you can find people who like speak to your soul and people who have great stories. And for example, I had Carolyn King on this morning, and she like talked about how like her story was so amazing and like where she's been in the States. And then she like lived in Mexico for 30 years in this like art pod. Like, it's just so neat where your creative path can take you and the people that you meet along the way. And you've got to think that there's like a reason behind it. Like, something like was meant to happen that put you in that position. And I feel like when we talked about like your marketing experience, like that is crucial to, you know, your path and your journey and how it's gone for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I have people DMing me about, you know, asking me about, you know, I want to be a full-time artist. Like, how do I get there? Or, you know, should I go to art school or this? And I'm like, I never want to like give an answer because I'm not necessarily an authority on anything. But, you know, for people who are like, oh, I want to be a full-time artist, like, how do I get there? I always suggest take business classes. Business classes.
Great advice.
Because even, you know, if you're in school, take them. If you haven't gone to school yet, make sure you take them. If you're, you know, kind of past the college years, there are so many like small business associations and local community colleges that offer small business classes.
Or even online, yeah.
Even online. And, you know, I always tell people, like, you're already an artist, so you've got that down. You've got, like, that 50% of it down. The other 50%, it's not like, oh, if I just paint more paintings or if I spend more hours in the studio. It's the business aspect of it. Like, being a full-time artist is being a business owner. And
you know what? You are like 1,000% correct. I'm just writing down the title of our podcast, The Business of Art. Because I did. I was very artsy and went to art school and did all the stuff and then walked out of art school and went back into hospitality. Right. Yeah. And so that's a time suck. That's a lot of years. I'm not discounting the fact that hospitality has given me very great gifts of communication and people skills and how to sell stuff, right? Yeah. So that is like life experience in that realm. Mm-hmm. And I'm still using those skills today as we speak. People skills are so important. Writing skills, business skills. When you are running your own business and it is self-motivated, mm-hmm. it takes a lot of self-learning. And that is through either experience or education of some sort. And you have to decide, you know, where you put your time and where you put your energy. And right after hospitality, I actually fell into a business role but only because of what I was teaching myself with marketing. And then I fell into a marketing role for 4 years, oddly enough, and even though I went to art school. So it is, it's like, I would say 75% business, the rest is art making.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you. My husband is a business owner too. And, you know, we connect on a lot of similar aspects about it because, you know, owning a business is not, I get to spend 90% of my time doing the thing that I love. No, it's you get to spend 20 or 30% of your time doing the thing that you love. And then the rest of it is like the stuff that you have to do to build your business and market yourself and promote your work. So I think that's the aspect. Like I've talked with a lot of people who have come out of art school. And I think whether you come out of art school or whether you come out of like other, you know, university or college programs, there's an element that's always missing about the reality of the working world that I think you can really only learn once you start working for other people. But there's definitely an element of like business and marketing education that will serve you regardless of what you want to do. I was at a networking event the other night and I was speaking with someone else who was there and they were saying, you know, their child who was like now like almost going into college age is not sure what they are going to do. And it's like, even if you're not sure for the first couple of years, like do marketing and business, you know, like get on the base knowledge of how
or like leave and travel and then come back and do business and marketing. I feel like you're, it's such a young age and you need to figure out who you are first before you go sit somewhere and throw yourself into some, well, only because I'm coming off of a very, Carolyn went traveling. She was like the first thing she did. And I traveled as a young person too, in between the hospitality time and alone, traveling alone. There's so many life skills and you can find out who you are and learn how to overcome fear, which is a big one without your like parents around to, you know, get on a train and then not be able to get picked up and be lost in France, which actually happened to me. Right. So, like, you know, and that was scary landing in Paris at the big train station, whatever it's called, Gare, whatever. That was scary, but like I figured it out. And I think those are important steps for, like a 17 or 18 year old.
Yeah.
They're still such a child.
Yeah.
You just like time to work is like, oh,
yeah, there's
something that's to be sad. That's the saddest part about society, I think.
Yeah, having the life experience, you know, working for other people, living your life. I mean, I was, you know, I was in my like late 20s, early 30s when I started like reconnecting with art. And I'm 30. I will be 38 soon. I'm like, I had to think about it for a second.
Oh, we're like the same age-ish.
Yeah. So, you know, you don't have to have things figured out early in life. Like I've kind of always, it seems like we have like very similar, like winding path stories to where we are now. And my only like concern or consideration when I got out into the working world is like, I want to keep learning. Like I want to, you know, further my knowledge on social media, graphic design. Cause you know, when I went to college, like not to date myself, but I'm going to, like social media marketing wasn't a thing because Facebook just came out when I was in college. So like ads on social media like didn't exist, like only college kids were on there. So, you know, things like social media and even graphic design, I taught myself as I was working. So even the things that I ended up doing full-time for other people are things that I taught myself. So yeah, the fact that like whatever you learn or whatever you do in college is the path that you have to be on forever just could not be farther from the reality of being in the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I get so excited when I do learning and like, or when I listen to like Jenna Kutcher or I'm listening to the Melinda Gates book and I was like, oh, philanthropy. Well, first I have to learn how to say that word before I can get into it. I was like, that sounds so interesting and like so much purpose. I'm like, but I'm not married to Bill Gates. So yeah. So how do I get money? No, I'm doing, because I painted for so many years, like just strictly painted, I burnt out from just painting so much painting. And when you don't market a whole bunch and you just paint and you're just like, oh, I'll just post pictures of my nice paintings, like you get a lot of paintings. I've always sold a lot, but I was always so prolific. Like, I'm just like, slow down. There's no emergency to finish the paintings on your wall. Just like, take a breath and focus on what you're doing. And so I've moved on from just focusing on a studio practice to expanding into what can that mean for my community? How can I raise money? How can I give back? And finding purpose behind and the power of art. Like, it's so powerful. It's like our journeys are similar, but not the same in the fact that, you know, I just am stepping, it's still in the art world. It's just another like path within that realm. And I love connecting with others and hearing what they're doing and how they're making it work. And because what you're showing artists is it's totally possible. And the information you're giving them is like, you know, you need these skills in order for it to probably work. Because in our day and age, like, take a gallery model, for example, like a gallery is representing probably 10 to 50 other artists. So they're not going to represent you in the way that you need to be represented.
They're divided at best.
Yeah. So what does that look like for a creative? And it looks like, you know, and I'm going to give some of my own advice, and I'd love to hear yours too. Is really great photographs, really great photographs, really great videos. And at this point in time, when you make an investment on a good phone. I have all the gear and it was very expensive and my phone's better. So yeah. It's so sad.
Content is done with my phone. Yeah, it's for sure. Like, you know, making sure that you're investing your time and your money in the right things that work for you, because it's different for every artist. You know, what works for me might work for another person. But something that I've found really interesting and really cool about like this path that I've been on and how my business has grown specifically is, you know, for centuries and decades, the model has been people go to galleries and purchase art at galleries, and social media comes along and flips that on its head. And now, you know, more millennials are collecting art, I think, than any other age group now. And the experience is not just, I see the finished piece of art, I buy the finished piece of art. So much of it is connected to them being able to see your creative process and know who you are and understand how you create. I mean, my
collect- the narrative.
Yeah. My collectors are so like wrapped up in my story and who I am. They know what my dog's names are, you know, and it's a completely different experience than in previous generations, where you would go to galleries, you would collect a piece of art, and you'd probably never even see a picture of what the artist looked like. So in trying to, you know, connect with collectors and put your work out there, the process is just as important as the finished product.
Talking about it. And I think when we speak about that and sharing your process, it's actually a really great thing for you too as a creative to go through sharing that process of why you're doing this and writing about it and creating that narrative and or reflecting on what you're doing instead of just like, oh, I threw this together, it's cool, hey. It's like, what does it mean to you and why should it mean, and should it mean something to others or should it not? Or, you know, like, why are you doing the things you're doing? And it can be a really, especially writing can be such a powerful tool. Mm-hmm. If you're looking into residencies or funding outside of just a creative practice of selling artwork, right? Like, because as we all know, it's not a sustainable thing to just sell a painting. Like, yeah. I did 1 year where I sold over 130 originals, and because it was the shift of the gallery thing in my Penny Lane, my art consultant was like, just scrap everything we know. And she's like, put all this up on your website, offer custom art, show them what you're doing, show them blah, 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 blah. Let's see what happens. Theme everything to every occasion. And so it fucking worked, except I was so tired. And then my prices weren't high enough. And I totally I quit and decided to write a book. Yeah, I mean, that's a very shortened version of kind of what happened. I didn't quit painting, but I quit doing that because, churning out portraits ruined. I love portraits. And it took the magic out of it. So I hate for that. And I only, I think I ended that year. It was my best year ever, but it was $30,000. And I was like, I can't fucking do this anymore.
Yeah, there's definitely a balance to it. You know, having worked, you know, quote unquote, regular jobs for the vast majority of my adult life, working full-time as an artist is so much more physically and mentally taxing than anything else I've ever done. Mm. So, you know, having to incorporate rest and, you know, activities and vacations and whatever, as part of your work, if I want to continue to be a working artist who makes good work, who is, you know, a tastemaker like all artists should be, I need time to rest. I need time to daydream. I need time to go visit art museums. I need time to go on vacation and relax and, you know, be able to be inspired. Whenever I've been able to step away on vacation or just, you know, sitting and daydreaming, the ideas and the inspiration always come to you. Mm-hmm. So the idea that rest is work is, you know, something that's really unique to being a creative for a job, but it's so essential. You can't force yourself to create. We're physically manufacturing things from our brain. And, you know, I think a lot of times we don't think about how amazing and cool that is, but also where is it all coming from?
Such a gift.
You have to keep feeding that and you have to keep nurturing that if you want to be able to consistently turn out good work.
Mm-hmm. You're so right. And yeah, I wasn't honoring myself, my family, or my work. And I also wrote I wrote that in my book. It takes people through self-care. And so I founded a little art academy in our public school system. And that's the first thing we come in and do is I call it creating and making space. Mm-hmm. So when does that magic happen? And it comes in the quiet, restful times, in meditation, on walks or runs or anything that, totally. You know, isn't. And it's so important to teach, I feel, everyone should practice it, obviously. Right. But to teach young people now, because they're constantly, you know, have something that's entertaining them. And this one volunteering thing I did last spring, I was like, you know, work on this later when you go hang out and play music in your room. And they all looked at me like, old lady, we don't listen to music. And I was like, what do you mean? They're like, we watch videos in our room at night. And I was like, oh, obviously, yes, of course. You don't listen to Jewel or Sarah McLachlan on your CD player in your room, right? And feel your teenage feels. Got it.
Right.
We were doing performance art and they all performed their scripts that they had written. And there was so, it was insight in a teenage girl's brain. And you forget as a grown woman what it was, the chaos that was going on. It was all murder, and the boys would always be murdered and die, and they'd like be falling in love. And I was like, this. And I have a male counterpart who is my teaching partner, and we're just like in shock. And I took video for them, and he's like, what are you going to do with those? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if we can share these. I don't think so. Yeah. So it's so important now more than ever to teach those young people those quiet skills. Yes. And that place and that safe haven for them, clearly a safe haven so they don't get murdered or murder a boy or partner or anything. Yes, it was special, but so funny. That's how I've expanded my practice too, is just like, I need to go show other people what I'm doing, because it is really fun. Mm-hmm. and it's very rewarding. And of course, I'm so proud of them. And I never thought I'd find myself in that role, because mm-hmm. when you're like, I'm a studio artist, it's so serious.
Yeah. Well, I think that's, you know, that might be one of the differences between, you know, people who have an art school background and people who don't, is like, I never had any idea that, like,
you didn't get bullied in art school. That's what didn't happen to you.
I cannot tell you how happy I am that I never had to deal with art critique. And like, it could go either way, right? Like, I think it's totally valid for people to like maybe look at my practice and look at my work and be like, oh, well, you never had to go through getting critiqued. No, but like I feel like every discussion that I've had with an artist who did go through a critique like that, like it has been legitimately traumatizing for a lot of people. Like a lot of people have stopped making art entirely just because of the opinions of certain people. And the older you get, here's the thing, the older you get, the more you realize that people are just human. Like even those people like in the positions of power, like the professors, whoever was critiquing your work, they're still just people. And they might have been having a bad day. They might not understand your work. They might not be the right audience. Like, it's so different to look at critique through the lens of, you know, a 30-something-year-old woman who, you know, like once we reach our 30s, like we just stop giving F's about what other people think. So, you know, I'll get comments. I don't get a lot of hate comments, which I think is kind of crazy for like the number of followers I have, because I feel like usually those people filter out of the woodwork once you start getting like a certain number of followers. But like those negative comments are always really low. And, you know, like you mentioned about connecting with other artists and other professionals through Instagram, you get to have like their support and their opinions, which means so much. You know, as you continue to paint and as you continue to practice. So it is definitely a different sort of path or world, like coming from, you know, non-art school background, like having not gone through that experience. Mm-hmm.
It is a level of traumatization. I have to say there are things that I will never forget. But there is, and it sucks because those stay with you, like the negative comments on social media. Yeah. I actually did a talk to the art queens, like a panel discussion on finding your fire. So taking that negative, whatever instance and turning it into something powerful, like how can you use that into, you know, creating your mantra and finding out who you are and finding yourself in that journey of criticism and something that normally would be like, oh, I guess I quit, like instead of that happening. Yeah. But it is a funny, strange world, and people without looking into you further, unfortunately, make quick judgments. And that's what I had to remove a video of my son swearing because he keeps saying freaking bitch. He's three, but he keeps going freaking bitch, mama. And so, which I find hilarious because he's three, he doesn't know what it means. Right. So I'm like, this is fucking funny. This is so funny. And clearly I swear, so it's my fault. Right. And I don't say that specifically. No one does. But it is so funny because when we're doing something exciting, he's like, freaking bitch. So this lady's like, clearly, this is not funny at all. And clearly, this is what dad calls mom. I was like, no. Do you think I would be like putting this up on Instagram for people to see and being like, ha, 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 funny. And my husband goes around calling me freaking bitch. Like, what? So I'm just like, you know, maybe I'll just take... For now, I'll take this one down because it's bringing out the crazies and I can't even take it. If they're not picking up on the fun, like I like to show the real parts of my life because I don't want to show the cookie cutter pieces. I did that. And I think it makes people feel terrible when you're like, this is my perfect meal in my perfect home. And that is just, and I make these beautiful art pieces and my kids paint them with me, la la la, like that is not our lives at all. So I try to share the raw real part, but some people haven't done the research to understand me fully, and so it sucks. That's this shitty part about social media, but for the most part, when you have your beautiful collectors, and it sounds like you do, you have those really positive people. Instagram is a really, or the social media realm can be a really cool place to find like-minded individuals who lift each other up. And like my friends have me on their podcasts and our art groups like feature one another. Oh, Jita, she has Art Scene Magazine and she's like, oh, in August. Oh, hey, Brandy, do you want to be included? And I was like, yeah. And so I wrote, I like her so much. And I wrote a whole bunch of really insightful stuff. And it ended up being like a 6-page spread. Like social media, there is so much power and connection and positivity. Unfortunately, a few asshats along the way.
I mean, it's just one more channel to make those connections, you know, whether you're doing like in-person collaborations with people or, you know, getting media features or, you know, whatever it is, having those connections in place and being top of mind for people if they need something from you is just, you know, another aspect of like that marketing.
Go ask your dad. He is here. Well, you're going to have to, was it in the basket? No,
it was in the fridge.
The fridge. Well, like I love hearing your marketing perspective because you're so right. It's just another venue and an avenue for you to, yes, you said it so well, for people to find you and find your skill set and utilize. And of course your website and that your Instagram's your like portfolio, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the ability to have this platform where potentially millions of people can see your content is, you know, an amazing extension of like your website or like what you would normally have as your like home or your space online. So, you know, what I always tell people is like your Instagram feed is like your portfolio. So it's where people get to know your work and who you are through your captions. So, you know, I always advocate for,
I'm a freaking bitch.
Right. Yeah. So like writing in-depth captions. And then the stories element is great for sort of sharing your day-to-day and like the personality stuff. So I can understand, you know, a lot of people don't have a great relationship with social media. Like it's not a positive place for them. But as someone who has worked in social media for over a decade, the experience that you have on social media is shaped by you. It's shaped by your actions. Like, you shape your algorithm.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So whatever you spend time like watching, engaging with, I'm such a proponent of unfriending people. Like, you don't need to be friends with people like just because you knew them at one time. Like, clean them out. Like, if you don't like seeing their stuff, clean them out. Like, if you're on Instagram and you go to your search page, that's a good like amalgamation of like everything that you do on social. Like, that's a good way to get a feel for like how the Instagram algorithm sees you.
Yes. So if you mine go, is covered in artists, right? Obviously,
if you go to your search page, you can kind of see like what the Instagram algorithm views you as, and then whatever types of content you view and engage with, you are altering that algorithm. So if you feel like it's not like a great healthy space for you, you can actively cultivate a better one, which is really cool. Mm,
it is really cool. Thank you for that advice. I think it can be, well, mine is like uplifting women power and then like uplifting quotes that I can share, and then artists, of course. And so I have a very funny story so I told you about Art Academy and my teaching partner who is male. And the one day so in schools, there's smart boards now for anyone over, what would it be? I don't know, probably our age, like 35 and up. They have smart boards because we didn't have a smart board.
I don't know.
And so they're like a projector kind of instead of on the whiteboard. So we were working in the library and I walk in and D has his computer hooked up and his Instagram. And I'm like, okay, so today we're doing ballpoint pen sketching, like, cause people make amazing ballpoint pen sketches. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to make a mess in the library that day. And so all we do is sketchbooks and ballpoint pens, right? And research. So research-based ballpoint pens. I'm like, so let's just search up on pull up your Instagram and we'll search up people to show the students and we'll watch some reels and whatever. And he's like, but it's my Instagram. I'm like, yeah, because mine, again, it's all uplifting like quotes and stuff. So I'm like, okay, whatever. So I like brushed him aside, and partway through the class, I'm like, okay, we need some new, cause he like set it up, right? I'm like, we need some new videos. So I go to the search. I go to the search thing. It was like, you know, like my husband's is the same. It's like the gym booty working out women with the big, and I was like, oh, it's his Instagram. Okay.
Yeah, no.
Okay. So I was like, quickly, you're trying to get it off the smart board. And I'm like, okay. And so they both talked about it. And they're like, because they're friends. Oddly enough, it worked out. I'm working with like my neighbor. So an old friend. The universe is funny. Anyway. They were like, you click on one thing once and that's all that Instagram feeds you. I'm like, sure. Yes. Whatever you guys think.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to tell yourselves to make it better. Okay. Sorry, that was another long story. I'm so excited to have met you. I won't take up any more of your time. I appreciate it so much. And I love what you do, and I love what people can take away from this conversation, especially with your marketing background. And everyone can check out Jenna's Instagram. And do you do TikTok or any other sort of spaces?
So I just started a TikTok, so I'm experimenting with that right now. But I'm Jenna Cass Studio everywhere on TikTok. I'm TikTok. I'm Jenna.Cass.Studio. And I'm on Pinterest too, but my main platform is Instagram. That's kind of where everything is. It's my favorite platform. So that's like my home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love it too. It's my favorite. I'm trying the other ones for for better SEO purposes, but I'm like, ah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Old dog, new tricks.
Yes. Yeah, and Facebook is just ignore that it exists.
Yeah, actually, so it's funny, Victoria, who runs Visionary, the Visionary Art Collective, she's like, so I'm not seeing much on Instagram anymore of you, but I am learning because I haven't stopped on Facebook. I still kind of go on Facebook and to share like big events, like big deal things, like the big mural we're doing this summer. And she's like, yeah, so I'm only keeping track of you there because it's lost, which sucks. But I mean, I think you're right. You can curate the algorithm and look at it as in a positive viewpoint, because the other looking at it in any other way is just like a rabbit hole of frustration, because it's nothing you can change or control.
Right. Well, thank you for having me on.
Do you have a website?
I do. It's jennacaststudio.com.
Great. So everyone, so what I want to say about finding you on Instagram is everyone can see like your process and your story. And it's such a beautiful story, and you're really open about sharing it. And thank you so much for being vulnerable and open and for your time. And I hope we chat again soon in the future. And I'm sure we'll cross paths somewhere in the art world universe, because it's actually quite small.
Yeah.
If you're looking for some time for yourself to relax, release, and unwind, Oasis has the perfect space for you. They offer yoga and spin classes of all levels. Whether you are a beginner or advanced student, Oasis thrives on accommodating all aspects of the practice. Let their serene environment and gracious staff help you in your journey of peace, healing, and strength. Sign up online at www.oasishotyogastudio.com or by downloading the Oasis Hot Yoga Studio app. Feel like yourself. You deserve it.
Thank you so much to our supporters and our community partners. We could not do this podcast and outreach and projects in our community without you. That is Red Bicycle Communications. They are so amazing. They uplift in so many ways in our community. Jill started her business and she talks about it on the podcast. So Jill Kelly, check out that first episode. She's come on a few times and empowered others along the way. So she's grown her own business and her vision. And she was even featured in the Toronto Star, I believe. Is that the right newspaper? Hopefully. it was very cool. It was a very cool business feature because she was like, I'm going to try this out in my community and we'll see if it works. And if it doesn't, and obviously it's been like probably more than a decade since, and they're doing really well, and they have founded the Women in Business Awards. So I'm very proud to be a partner with them. We have Nouveau Laser and Aesthetic Center. I love them so much. They make me feel good in my own skin. It's one of my biggest touch points and what I'm most self-conscious about. And I recently have been starting to get some of my tattoos removed that I got when I was 16 and 19. So obviously I didn't think those through, but it doesn't hurt, which was very cool and very surprising. So they are the only people locally who do tattoo removal. And of course, face treatments and a whole bunch of another like laser hair removal and an array of, you can do injections and a whole bunch of stuff. So check Nouveau out. We also have BioClean Disaster Services. They're so wonderful, and their mission is, I love their mission statements and their values. It's to uplift community and community through women and children. So what happened, and I remember talking to them about this when we initially partnered, is what happens when you empower females is they live a better life, and if they have children, then they raise better children, and that is the way that to empower community and growth and I guess like challenge the poverty cycle in a way. So so I love talking to them about that, and in our initial
our initial conversations of when they became a partner. And they have helped us along the way with mural washing and a lot of different projects around the city. So I love them so much. And they do a wonderful job because, I mean, it's for like if your basement got a flood for some strange reason, like that's your most vulnerable time in your life. And they're there for you to help you through and ease any situation or help you in any way, because that is like when stuff like that happens, it's so like you're just, it's so frustrating. So they support people in that journey. And then we have Oasis and Hot Yoga Spin Studio, safe space for you to rest your mind and gain more energy and come back to yourself again. So I love it there. It's always been, it's a beautiful space. They have gorgeous plants and it'll just refresh you and revitalize you. We're so lucky to have them in our community. Thank you so much for being here, and we will chat with you soon, my friends.